You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8, when they established what became the pattern for the worship for the Jews, that's even continued today, and in many ways a model for us as a church, Ezra stood, Ezra read the scriptures, everybody stood, and for 4 hours they read through the book of Deuteronomy, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and they prepared a platform for Ezra so he would be above the people. Not above them in terms of position, but above them so that there could be a focus not to see him, but to hear the voice of the Lord as he spoke through the scriptures. And so I trust and pray that as I'll be here for a couple of times, I'll be here 3 times in the next 4 weeks, as Pastor Cardi is going to be continuing his recovery. I trust that there won't be a sense of distraction because of a strange voice or a strange face, but we'll hear the voice of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And sometimes we hear something we're very familiar with, but we hear it from a different perspective or a different voice or a different season in our life, and a light bulb comes on. We go, oh, it's not like we've heard it for the first time, but we hear it for the first time again. And that's when the word becomes living and powerful. And sharper than a two-edged sword, not simply a manual that we read and go about our life, but it becomes our life. Amen? We know that doctrine to be what should be our heartbeat, because we who are part of the sect of Christianity that we call Calvary Chapel, we do hold the word in great reverence, and we believe chapter upon chapter, line upon line, here a little, there a little, day in and day out, it is our daily sustenance. Not just to point us to salvation in Christ, but to talk to us and teach us about the character and the nature of God so that he might increase, we might decrease, and one day we will be in his presence forever. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I would just ask that there would be no distraction this morning with a strange voice, with a strange manner of presentation, so to speak. But your heart is what we would hear. As we turn our attention to the pages of your scripture, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make them alive to us. And that we might not hear anything that is new, but we might hear again, as Peter said, being reminded of that which we know, that we might allow it to just to saturate our being and to strengthen our soul. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would allow that to happen this morning as we open your scriptures. Do pray for Pastor Cardi. Thank you for the privilege of being able to stand here in this place. This is holy ground, because, Lord, here's where we meet with you. We can meet with you everywhere, but here, Lord, our intention is to be with you. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would guide my thoughts. May your heart come forward to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I have the privilege of being able to be with you for 3 weeks in the next 4. Pastor Cardi asked me if I would actually share last week, but because of the snowstorm, I was not able to be here to meet with you. And we're blessed at that, because as bad as my voice sounds now, it sounded like this last week, and I couldn't have said a thing. I just returned from Asia, and I always bring home my winter cold with me, and it buried real deep, and now I've passed it on to my wife. And so I only need to give it to 2 more people, and I'll be completely healed. So I'm looking for 2 candidates who would like to give me a real big hug. No. No, I'm not infectious. I'm on the way back, but my voice is still cracking, as you can hear. So we'll hope that the Lord speaks, that the Lord speaks through us. Okay? Being able to be here for 3 weeks, I do want to share a little of my testimony with you and tell you where the intent is, if the Lord continues to speak this way as we go forward. Because I do know a little about your fellowship. I do know your pastor and Pat. I've known them for about 15 years. My wife and I were saved in the early 80s, in 1980, in Merritt Island, Florida, at a church that became Calvary Chapel Merritt Island. And I grew up in that church. And after 15 years of growing in that church as a businessman at the age of 48, the Lord called my wife and I to move to a college town and to start a church. I didn't want to start a church. I was an elder. I was enjoying my life, but the Lord gave me a heart for people and a desire to teach His word. And so we relocated to Gainesville, Florida, and started a church fellowship there, just the two of us. Nobody moved with us. And the Lord chose to honor that work in spite of me. And after about 15 years or so, the church had grown. We'd been able to purchase some land and build a building. And I had a young man that grew up spiritually in the church. He came as a college student and stayed after he graduated as an intern. And in 2011, I passed the church on to a 25-year-old man to pastor the church when I was 63. So the church went through quite a... But you know what? The Lord had prepared Rob to pastor the fellowship and had prepared me to move on. And in doing so, the church has become so much more than I ever wished it could have been for myself. And that's a neat testimony, isn't it? I go back to Gainesville and I go, how come this isn't what I got? Well, one plants and another waters. Each of us have different seasons and transitions of life. But the Lord did allow me in my serving as a pastor to once again have a heart to go back out into the mission field, the international mission field, and teach people how to study the Word of God. That, I believe, is what my calling was. Excuse me. Thank you, Mary, for the cough drop. Let's see how it works. So I started traveling to China in 2007, and I've been back to China about 40 times since. I go about 3 times a year, serving the international community that is living there. Men and women that I've met who are planted in China and living in China as business people or as students or on a tourist visa, serving the Lord, called to China to live. But you can't build a church like we can in other parts of the world. Can't put up a building and do anything publicly. It's all lifestyle type work. And the Lord has given me the privilege of going and encouraging saints who are serving, because as much as they recognize the work can be hard and the culture can be different, most people are not prepared for the sense of isolation and loneliness when they go to a new location. Have you discovered that? When we move, very often it's like, wow, I knew things would be different, but I never realized I would feel so lonely. Well, part of the ministry that the Lord has allowed me to do is to bring a cup of cold water to them in the name of the Lord. And I'll bring some materials in a couple of weeks so you can see a little bit about what that ministry is about. I'm not here to promote that, just to share a little of my testimony. I also do serve with the Underground Fellowship in China as I have opportunity, the House Church Movement. I don't speak Mandarin, but I'm only there for 3 or 4 days with leaders or with a small church fellowship, so always have a translator and trust that the Lord is doing a good work there. The church in China is healthy and is hungry. So pray for the church around the world, India, China, the Middle East. God is doing great things, and in many places doing things in a dynamic way that we, in our culture, have kind of lost. Amen. In the book of Amos, you don't need to turn there. This is just an introduction. Amos was given to be a prophet to the northern nation of Israel, and things were good. It was prosperous times. They were doing well, and spiritually, they were all about the church, what we would call the church activities. But their hearts had begun to grow cold, because the Word of God, God's living Word, was no longer an integral part of the church life. Fortunately, it speaks a lot about the church today around the world. And Jesus said these things must be this way. Amos said it this way. The Lord gave him a vision, one of his five visions. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. They, and he's talking about the believers, he's talking about Israel. Now, they were a nation that was apart from God and drifting from God, but they were still His chosen people. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Now, aren't you glad we're not in that condition? Don't we have the word of the Lord? This is Calvary Chapel, Macedon, yes? And there are no bells and whistles here with smoke and mirrors during worship. And there are, I don't mind technology, but you bring your Bible because we're not flashing it up on the screen. Is that correct? We all have the Word of God, whether it's in electronic media or like us old geezers who like to have paper, ink and paper, right? We have the Word of God. And I have more than one copy of the Word of God. Don't you? And we can listen to the radio and we can watch television. Well, don't watch too much television. Listen to good radio. We can be saturated with the teaching of the Word of God. Or it is available to us. And yet the church, by and large, I'm not speaking about this church or any individual, but all of us are susceptible. The church, by and large, can become distant from delighting and meditating upon the Word of the Lord. You remember when you first got saved? I don't remember a lot of detail. And I don't know, some of us know exactly the moment. Some of us, it was kind of a progression, and we look in the rearview mirror and we look back and we see, wow, the Lord's really done something. Well, the benchmark for every one of us, no matter how old or how young, no matter where we were in our life when the Lord interrupted our life and we fell in love with Jesus and we asked Him to forgive us of our sins and we recognize that without Him we can't do anything. Did we not all have a hunger and a desire to learn of Him through His Word? I mean, I couldn't wait to wake up in the morning and see what God wanted to tell me. Now, the first time I turn the page, I'm discovering something new. But after a short period of time, you realize God repeats Himself over and over and over again to make sure that we understand what it is we're supposed to know. Amen? When I was a child, I remember getting lots of different toys back then. There weren't batteries and things with them. A lot of them had different pieces and, log cabins and stuff like that. I'd lose the pieces and I'd break stuff. But I remember a gift that was given to me when I was, 8 or 10 years old. A kaleidoscope. Now, I cannot use this illustration most places because I tried it in Gainesville and people went, what's a kaleidoscope? They have smartphones. They grow up. How many of you remember what kaleidoscope is? Yeah. It's just this cylinder with a few colored pieces of glass, right? Not a lot. A few. And you hold it up and you look at it and go, whoa, the pattern is incredible. And then you just turn it just a little bit. And it changes completely. I kept that from my brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest of six. My brother would break stuff if he had it. I hid it because every day I'd come home from school for a long, long time and I'd go out to the window and I'd just twist it a little bit more and just stare at the new pattern because the kaleidoscope was so fascinating to me. I don't know exactly how it works. It works from mirrors and glass and stuff like that. But just the idea that a few pieces of glass, if you twist it a little bit, shows something completely different. Is that not what the Word of God is for you and me? Wasn't it like that when we first came to know Him? I can hardly wait to see what Jesus wants to tell me now that I already know, but I need to see in a different way. Amen? Well, now I've known the Lord for almost 40 years. I read the Scriptures, supposed to. I know what's on the page. That's a danger. Because sometimes I just read and I don't. Well, turn with me to Psalm 1. That's the beginning of our study. Psalm 1. This is not so much exposition as I believe it's an exhortation or an encouragement from the Father's heart for us. And I want to tell you what my goals and desires are. My goal and desire for each one of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter what our normal times of devotion or study or work or whatever are, is that we will once again discover the joy of delighting in God's Word and meditating upon it just twice a day, day and night, because that will strengthen us. That will bless us. Amen? Well, look at Psalm 1. We're all familiar with the Scriptures, very familiar Scripture. Blessed are those who walk not, I read from the New King James Version. Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The result? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper or succeed in that for which it was intended to be. The contrast is in verses 4 to 6. Instead of a blessed man who is like a tree, there is the ungodly man who is like chaff. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6, very important. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, those who have a right relationship with God, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I've taught this psalm many times. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And it's one of the scriptures I love to use to teach people how to study the Word of God for themselves, because it's much deeper than the words that are on the page if we stop and think about them. And I really only want to focus on verse 2. But look with me at the context in which it's written. In verse 1 it says, blessed is the man. That word blessed, oh how happy. It's not conditional happiness. It's not the kind of happiness that comes from getting a new car or getting a raise in your job or something like that. It's not something that's conditional. I didn't break anything. Praise the Lord. But it just means to be spiritually happy and content. Can we say that? Do you see that? It's the context really teaches us what the word means more than even the definition of the word itself in a dictionary. The man who is spiritually blessed, three things he does not do. He does not allow himself to be influenced by ungodly things concerning spiritual matters. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not in step with the wisdom of the world, listening to worldly advice concerning spiritual matters. Could stop right there and we could think about that. And if we think about that, I can think of some people I've listened to that have given me ungodly advice that I liked, and I thought, ooh, that sounds good, and realized that's not what I should do. I won't share my testimony in those things, but I have testimony on those things, listening to ungodly people about what they think I should do. And it sounds good, but I want to be a man who is blessed by God. Amen? So he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the path of sinners, does not put himself in a place where he will be influenced by, rather than being influenced to, those who would lead him astray, those who mock God. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Those are things that the blessed man, the spiritually happy and content and prosperous man or woman, will not do. And those are easy for us to understand. And the scriptures are filled with all kinds of direction on how to avoid those things in our life. Amen? But look at verse 2 with me. Because here's where we want to camp. And we'll camp here for this week. And I won't be here next week. Matt will be back next week, I believe. Matt Quirk from Webster. And then the following 2 weeks, Pastor Carty has asked me if I would stand in. And so this is kind of, we're going to kind of continue on this theme, I believe. I'm going to invite you to join me on a trip through in the scriptures. But look at verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Two statements. His delight is in the law of the Lord, number one. And in his law, he meditates day and night. The man who is spiritually blessed, the result being he shall be like a tree, solid, bearing fruit, showing signs of life, and being prosperous, succeeding in what God has intended for him to do and to be. It's all contingent upon how much verse 2 is in my life. It doesn't say he reads his Bible 15 minutes a day, reads our daily bread, which is a wonderful thing, or streams in the desert, listens to the radio on his way to work, and that's the end of it. No, no, no. We have a life to live apart from staring at the Word of God. But the Word of God is to be directing and filling our life moment by moment. Amen? We understand that as a doctrine, but sometimes we forget it as a practice. And this verse chewed me up about 6 years ago. I've taught it. I love it. It's it's something that is very close to my heart. But after I passed the church on to a younger man, and I no longer had a responsibility to teach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, men's group, discipleship on Friday morning with young men, opportunities to speak and to share. And when the work of the ministry was taken away, I realized that my devotional life had left me. I was in the Word, but I was in the Word not to feed upon it for myself. I was in the Word to give to others, but I was no longer delighting and meditating upon the Word of God for myself. Could that happen to any one of us? Has it maybe happened to all of us? And the Lord wants us to get back to it. And sometimes our conveniences are our distractions. I have a screen I look at in the morning when I wake up. I'm learning to put it aside before I pick up my Bible. Do y'all know what I mean by screen? That little iPhone that you have, that you must have because you got to know the score from last night. Or maybe somebody far away wrote you a note. That happens to me. Or maybe a word of encouragement. Or maybe you just want to see what's going on in politics. No, you don't want to go. But the fact that we can find access to information, we have a tendency to fill our minds with that information. And then the Word of God, which we read, we don't delight in and meditate in, but we read it out of obligation because we're a Christian and we should. I want to get back. I want to get back. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That word delight, we'll use biblical term. We'll use biblical definitions now, not just Webster, which is fine, but we want to know what the word means in the scriptures. The word delight is used in a number of different places, and you can do your own word studies in these things, but basically it means his pleasure, his desire, what he considers valuable. He considers the word of God a pleasure, something to be desired, something of great value. Now he's writing to those of us, and I'm speaking to those of us who know the Lord as our Savior. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must come to God and believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. That's all revealed in the Scriptures. Amen? And so we know we are saved by God's Word being applied into our hearts as Jesus comes and dwells within. Hallelujah. Let me do that again. Hallelujah. I'm younger than Cardi by 3 years, so you can talk back to me if you want to. I've got my hearing aids turned up. I can hear everybody. Listen, we are rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Amen? But we have the Word of God not simply to lead us to salvation in Christ, but to develop a relationship with us and the one who loves us so. Amen? Sometimes we use other things to draw close to God, and all of these things are good and even biblical. Church, prayer, fellowship, fasting, worship, all these things are good. Nothing wrong with any of these things. But none of them are a substitute for delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating upon it day and night. God said it. If you don't like it, talk to Him about it. Well, I can't read very much. I don't know what I'm understanding. You know what? The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and He can make plain exactly what you need to know. Amen? Is God able? So, to delight, considers valuable. And Proverbs tells us that we delight in wisdom. And Ecclesiastes tells us that we delight in God's words of truth. Psalm 16 tells us that we delight in the Lord. Well, here it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what's His name? Jesus. And Jesus said, if you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And in His prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, Jesus said, Father, sanctify, set apart your children, my disciples, set them apart by your word. Your word is truth. And we so often substitute We don't lose our salvation, but I think we lose the joy of discovery for ourselves as we don't delight in the law of the Lord as we should. We should delight in God's care and God's works and Christ's sacrifice. All of these things are seen to us and seen in the Word of God. So his delight, his joy, his pleasure, his desire, what he considers valuable is found in the law of the Lord. Now, when it says the law of the Lord, especially in the Old Testament, and most especially in the Psalms, it's talking about the counsel of God's written word. It's not just talking specifically about the Pentateuch or the book of Deuteronomy where the law is found. But it's all of God's breathed word to us. His delight is in God's word. When I first got saved, I delighted in God's word. I still enjoy it, but I stopped delighting in it. I want to get back to delighting in God's word. Am I alone in this? Yeah. See, the Lord told us that in the last days, Amos chapter 8, Jesus chapter 24, 25, 26, Matthew chapter 17, all throughout the scriptures, he says, listen, in the last days, I'm going to phrase it this way, the saved ones can be a mile wide and an inch deep. Heaven is your home, but I want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit, the character of Christ, showing signs of life in every season of life, and succeeding in everything he has for me to do and who he has me to be. Amen? Is that your heart? Where is the answer found? It's not just found in the Word. It's found in delighting in the Word of the Lord. This is his Word to us. And then he says, look, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I love that word meditate. I love the biblical meaning of the word meditate. I'm 71 years old, so I grew up with sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and meditation was something you did to empty yourself and cross your knees, which I never could do, and hold your fingers together and go, om, and empty yourself and open yourself to anything else. That's not what meditation is in the Bible, is it? No, to meditate means to ponder, to think through. In some ways, in some places, it's actually say groan. You know, you're chewing on. It's an agricultural term. Did you know that? Meditate? I've never been involved in agriculture, but I have some friends who have dairy cows and beef cows. And I don't know all the details, so if I say something incorrectly, please don't allow the illustration to be lost by my inaccuracy. But the cows get up in the morning, they're let out of the barn, they go out into the field where there's nice green grass with dew on it, right, early in the morning. And what do? Not all day long, but at the beginning of the day. They chew, they swallow. Then what do the rest of the day when the sun is up? They regurgitate the food that they have eaten, and they chew on it some more. They masticate it some more, don't they? So that by the time the day is done, they've gotten all the nutrients out of that they ate early in the morning. But they could not assimilate until the day was going on. Does that make sense? Does that illustration, because that's what the Bible means. Chew the cud. How many of you are farmers or know about farming? Do you know what it is to chew the cud? Cows chew the cud. They don't eat new. They just chew on what they have eaten and gain more nutrients from it. That's exactly what we are to do with the Word of God. And that's exactly what we as a church, not speaking to anybody except the man in the mirror, that's exactly what we at the church have stopped doing, because we read, we say that's nice, we close with a prayer, and we don't think about it at all as we go through our day. Am I alone in this? This is the culture we live in. He chews on the Word of God. Only twice a day. Look at the Word with me. Only twice a day. Daytime and nighttime. Now, does that mean he doesn't pay any attention to anything else that's happening on this planet? No, not at all. Not at all. Just like Paul says in Thessalonians, says, pray without ceasing. That does not mean that I can't talk about an upcoming football game. There is a football game coming up, right? I don't know. I like the college game better, so, you know, it's already over for me. But I guess there's another game coming up, and there's, you know, there's dark and there's light and there's good and there's evil and whoever it is you think is good or evil. And there's a lot of money involved and there's a lot of ego involved and all. And I'm going to watch it. We do that. So if there are times when we, in a sense, put aside our meditating on the law of the Lord, but it should always be at our fore, shouldn't it? It should always be inside doing its work effectively in the hearts of those who believe. He meditates upon the law of the Lord day and night. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and I don't know whether you take notes or not, This is an exhortation. I've got scripture for you. You can write it down, check it yourself. None of it's anything you probably don't already know. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord came to Joshua and said, Moses, my servant is dead. It's your turn now, basically is what he said. And he said, if the law of the Lord does not depart from your mouth, but you meditate upon it day and night, you shall be prosperous in what you do. Well, I've walked under the tutelage of this man for a long time. What more do I need? I need the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen? In Psalm 63, verse 6, it talks about meditating upon the law of the Lord at night. Psalm 78, meditating upon his work and his deeds. The more we meditate, the more thirsty we are for more. Haven't you discovered that? The more I learn, the more I want to know, because the more I realize I don't know what I don't know yet. And it's not that I want my brain to grow, I want my heart to grow. Amen? How do I know how to be slow to speak, quick to hear? How do I know the source of wisdom? How do I know what is righteousness? Through the Word of God. Now, I could quote to you the scriptures that we all know from 2 Timothy. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Be in God's word. Handle it well. Not just so we get our doctrine right, but so that we are walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And we know in this fellowship that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Cover to cover, right? I don't understand it all, but it's all inspired by the Lord. And it's profitable, it's useful to me for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for all the aspects of my life, to teach me doctrine, what is right, to correct what is wrong, to show me how to walk in a way that is fixing that correction, and even to challenge me and correct me and give me a boost in the butt when I need it because I'm going the wrong way. Aren't you glad the Lord's Word does that for you? And the reason it does that is to equip us, it says, for the work of the ministry, so that the man of God, the woman of God, might be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What equips us is God's word. We know this. Amen? I don't know when I started, but I'm going to take 10 more minutes. Is that okay? Okay. Turn with me to Psalm 119, and I'm going to ask you to join me in a challenge. Now, you know Psalm 119. A friend of mine goes, he and his wife read through the Psalms every day when they're retired now, and they take the day of the month and they read that Psalm, then they add 30 to it and read the next Psalm and add 30 to it, and read the next Psalm, add 30 to it, read that Psalm. And they end up reading all 150 Psalms over the course of 30 days. And he said, when we get to the 29th day, I realize I need to take care of some things before we sit down to read, because we're going to do a lot of reading. Because Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, isn't it? You know that. I'm not going to go through the detail of what Psalm 119 is in terms of its overview and structure, other than to say this. It is the longest. It is broken into 22 sections of 8 verses. Each verse begins with the letter, Hebrew letter of the letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order. And so the Hebrew letter Aleph, I don't speak Hebrew, but that's what it's called. The verses in verses 1 to 8 all begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. The next 8 begin with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through. 22 verses, 22 letters, 176 verses. I said all that to say this. It's all about God's Word. It's all about God's Word. Maybe one or two or three or four verses don't speak specifically about God's Word. It must be an important subject. When I first read Psalm 119, I thought, he's repeating himself. This is boring. Have you ever felt that about some places in the Word of God? I've read this. He's saying it over and over again. Have you ever felt like that? I have. And the Lord reminds me of the kaleidoscope. Every verse, 176 verses, twist and look, twist and look. And even if he's using the same word, commandment or law or precept, even if he's actually repeating a verse, which he does several times, the writer of Psalm 119 is looking at Psalm 119. And if we take our time and do that, I believe the Holy Spirit of God will quicken within each one of us a delight for and a hunger for chewing on God's Word on every page. I believe he will do that. And so I'm going to challenge you to read with me for the next 3 weeks. Whatever you're doing in your devotions is fine. But to read with me in the next 3 weeks, every day, take a section of Psalm 119 in its order, those 8 verses, read, chew, maybe make a few notes about what the Lord is saying to you personally, not doctrine, but speak into your heart, and meditate on that. And I guarantee that if we develop that habit over the next 21, 22 days, we will become more like the tree we want to be. Amen? That's a challenge to you. And you can pray for me because I'm taking that challenge. I need that. I want the Word of God to be my delight and my meditation again. I know too much in the Scripture sometimes to let it speak to me. I want to slow down and allow this Scripture to get buried in my heart. And I want to ask you to join me in that. So let's take a look at Psalm 119 a little bit. The first 8 verses begin with the word, with the letter Aleph. I don't know that, but it says it in my Bible, and I looked in my Hebrew Bible, and it all looks like it starts with the same letter, so I guess it's all true. Blessed are the undefiled. Oh, there's that word blessed again. Blessed, oh, how happy spiritually, are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. And it continues, blessed are those who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Now stop with me. First 3 verses. Blessed, blessed. What do they do? They're undefiled. This is a hard teaching when we look at it because, like, I can't do this. They're undefiled. They keep the law, they walk in the law of the Lord, they keep his testimonies, they seek him with the whole heart, they do no iniquity, and again, they walk in his ways. How many of us do that? Sounds impossible, doesn't it? And without Christ, it is. And he's not asking us to be sinless or perfect. This is to be the goal, the aim, the desire of our hearts. David was called a man after God's own heart. Was David a perfect man? No. But his bend was, his desire was, to seek the Lord. And I want to be like that man. I don't know who wrote this psalm. Nobody knows for sure. It might have been David. Let me help you with these words just a little bit. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. What that means is somebody who is wanting to live a whole life. W-H-O-L-E. A sound life, to be a man or a woman of integrity. Could that be us? Could that be an aspiration for us? I want to be a man of integrity who walk in the law of the Lord. My steps are in line with God's direction. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies. The word keep means maintain or observe or obey or guard. I can do that. Perfectly? No. But that can be what I want to do. Amen? Blessed are those who seek him with the whole heart. The word seek, pursue, pursue, examine, follow. I want to follow him with my whole heart, don't you? Perfectly, do we? No. A couple weeks ago, I was at the foothills of the Himalayas visiting some friends, and the Yangtze, the Yellow River, begins in the Himalayas. It flows down to the sea, I don't know, thousands of miles through 57 dams or something, and goes all the way to the ocean, you know, the Sea of China or Pacific Ocean or whatever it is. And I thought about that as I was doing this. The Yangtze River, huge river, the Yellow River, it flows for thousands of miles all the way to the ocean. Now, does all the water get there, or are there tributaries that go off on the side? Are there tributaries that go off and come back in? Sure. Are there streams that go off and they just kind of water some wetlands and they stop? Sure. But yet we can say the Yellow River flows into the sea. The Mississippi flows into the sea. Does every drop of water in the Mississippi that starts in Minnesota end up in south of New Orleans? No. But that's the direction of the river. That's where the river is going. That's what it's speaking to our hearts here. He's not asking us to be perfect. What he's saying to us here is follow after and pursue and examine that this is the way you are going. Anyone want to go there with me? I hope you do. And there's no iniquity found in them. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they don't want wickedness or injustice to rule in their hearts. I think that could speak to each one of us, could it not? So after verse 3, when he makes this statement, every verse after verse 3, or at least after verse 5, is a prayer directed to God, not about God. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, as soon as reading the first, they do no iniquity, they walk in his ways, verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. He's talking to the Lord now. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Who's the audience here? Who's the writer writing to? Is this a sermon for you and me? This is a prayer to his Lord, isn't it? And every verse is the kaleidoscope turning. Can you see that? Same subject, but a different focus, a little bit different way to look. And I'm going to challenge you to join me in your devotions. How long does it take to read 8 verses? Not long. How long does it take to chew on it? Just twice a day, day and night. And I will encourage you, if you don't make notes, take a little journal, take a piece of paper, find a verse in those 8 that just goes thump and says, this is for you, Ted, and chew on it. You don't need to share it with anybody else, but just how the Lord is speaking to you. And I guarantee you, by the Holy Spirit who lives within each one of us, and by the fact that we can develop habits and disciplines that we've maybe long since forgotten, that if we do this for 3 weeks, we will have a new hunger and desire and delight for God's word. And that's my desire for this fellowship. It's my desire for everyone around the world. And really, this is what the Lord has encouraged me to encourage people in, is get to know the God of the Bible, not for doctrine, but for your own self. Amen. So I'll see you in a couple weeks, and we'll chew on some of this stuff. I was going to tell you, and this is in closing, but I'll pick up here, that the word of God is spoken of in these 176 verses using 8 different words in the Bible. So don't get confused. He uses the word law, word, judgments, testimonies, commandments, statutes, precepts, and another word for word. All of those are speaking about the Bible in some fashion or another. And just like the kaleidoscope, I'll start by defining all of those terms for you. And we'll just see. It's all talking about the same thing. The Word of God, which is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? But every verse, every word, the facet just changes a little bit. Not to confuse us, but to have us fall in love more and more with our Lord and Savior. Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, thank you for my voice working. I pray, Lord, that that this messenger is not a distraction to what you want to say to our hearts. If I said anything that's displeasing to you, Lord, may it fall away. But that which is from you, that which you desire to speak to us, Lord, saints who love you and love your church and are most of us involved in and desiring to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. I don't know everyone in this room. But Lord, as we've come to know you, may we learn to walk in you. There is so much scripture that we can just meditate upon that amplifies this teaching. But Lord, help us in the weeks ahead to delight in the law of the Lord and to meditate upon it day and night. And what a joy, Father, just right now for our pastor to be able to come back and to see his flock and to fellowship with the saints. We bless you for him, Lord. We ask that you would continue to have your hand of protection and mercy upon him and healing. We bless you, Lord, for measuring our steps and numbering our days. And Lord, we just trust you until that day that you call us all home. May we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.